All right, back. We'll go ahead and I guess we'll start with a word of prayer and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the second service. We are always grateful for each and every day and your plan that you have for us. We just pray that we can concentrate enough to realize what you have for us and be able to apply it to our lives. We thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So here we are to, I think we just talked about reproof and the benefits of God's word reproving us. And then here's the next word. It is also profitable for correction. Correction. And I think, you know, this one is pretty easy to understand, that the Word of God has a way to correct our path, right? The Word of God always corrects us in a way that is positive. You know, there's a lot of corrections you can make, right? But are they positive? Are they in a way that's a benefit, of true benefit to you? It may be temporary benefit, right? But the Word of God has a way to correct us for eternal gain, eternal benefit, things that last, things that we can take with us, things that we do here that count for eternity. You know, there's a lot to think about when we're thinking about the correction that God's word makes on our lives personally, because if anybody wants correction, hopefully the goal is to at least receive the right kind of correction, because we can, you know, this life offers you a lot of different corrections from people, friends, family, right? Counselors, but God's word corrects us in a way that is spiritually right, and that's the way hopefully we go. This word is kind of unique. It's a positive word, of course, not just like reprove is kind of, you know, you're getting in trouble. This word has a sense of restoration or improvement, a continual state of improvement. So I think of, you know, kind of like restoring an old car, right? You go from one state to a better state, and hopefully you get to the finished product of that car looking good and looking nice and everything working right and being able to drive it, dependability, right? And that's what the spiritual life, I feel, does for us. You know, we start at that old rusty car, and God gives us a chance to be restored. He gives us restoration through Jesus Christ. That's where our body work starts, is at the cross. And so we move into the shop. You know, here we come, going from unbeliever to believer. And then the process begins, right? The work begins on the soul. That's where the restoration really takes place. And that's the correction this is talking about. It's not talking about a correction for just some human gain or temporary benefit. This is a spiritual gain or correction that is always beneficial to you, and I mean that in the spiritual sense. So, and this has to do with your path in life. Everybody's thinking about their path in life. Well, God's word is the one direction that we can go to look for right correction and right guidance in life, because it's what gives us the information to make the right decisions to even make that right path in life. And so that's the correction we're referring to. It's not like someone's going to come and grab you and take you and say, do this. You know, once you get out of the house, you're on your own, right? So this is one way to look at this, in that if we are consistent in our intake of the word, are growing in the word, you can self-correct based on what you have in your soul. That's what the word of God does. It's the rule of life. If you have those rules in your thinking, that righteousness, that righteous way of living, you can identify and correct things that someone else may not be able to do. And so those are crucial in making decisions. I mean, you know, we all can see in our lives when we didn't have any self-correcting ability, right? And we made decisions that were not in with the will of God or desire of God, because we didn't have that self-correcting ability then. We weren't as in tune with the Word of God as we should have been. And so that's that, I think, the discernment that the Word gives us to self-correct. And many times you'll see now in your life, you'll identify something or the Word of God will show it to you, as we saw in the reproof. And then you'll get to the point where you can correct it before it becomes a bigger issue. There's so many things that we see in our lives that we don't do anything about. And then before you know it, they'll continue. And then all of a sudden now we're here with a bigger problem than if we would have, you know, nipped it in the bud right back here. And I think by you being consistent and growing spiritually, we have the capability to do that. So identify, self-correct in a way that is, I guess, saves you from a lot of heat, right? Saves you from a lot of heartache, maybe from discipline, or to be in a place in your life that you don't want to be. So that correction is all positive, right? So here's the next one. His word is profitable for training in righteousness. Training. And this word is kind of unique. The training, the word for training, it means the rearing of a child, training or discipline. Not just any training. It's in righteousness, right? And this almost kind of sums up everything else that we talked about. Because in a way, it is training that we receive. You know, we're being trained for to be used by God for His purposes. That's what we're being trained for. You need to be able to think correctly before God can use you in an incorrect world. We're in a world of sin, and God wants to use you as a sinner. I'm not saying you're going to stop sinning, but I'm saying He can use you because He's given you things like the Holy Spirit, like His Word, like training in righteousness to be able to use you on the outside in big ways. So this training is critical. You know, we need to think about it as such because, you know, companies spend a lot of money to train employees. That's a big part of their budget, right? Training. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. But this training, not only is it free, but think about the payoff if we actually receive it in a way, as we talked about, and we take it, the profit for what it is, the teaching, the reproof, the correction, and the training, sum that up. The payoff is that God will use you in this life. You can glorify God. And you know, what else comes with that? Blessings. Blessings. Everybody wants blessings. There's no doubt about that. We're human. We want blessings. We want to grow spiritually. We want to glorify God. And we want blessings. Here's the way to do it. Training. That free training. That's grace. And that's what we're learning and growing in right here is righteousness. Righteousness. That's what God gave us at the moment you became a believer in Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness. Why did He do that? Because you needed it. You were unrighteous. Now you needed His righteousness and you needed to be able to grow in that righteousness. Here's that word, training. Training in righteousness. So, and that's why the hope in rearing a child should be to train them in righteousness. So even though, you know, they grow up, the idea is that they won't depart from that. And that's the goal, because the only accurate and real true training, I mean, as a parent, is this right here. This is the thing. This is the training that is going to stick, is the training that they're going to remember. They may reject it. They may leave it for a time. But the reality is that if you train a child in righteousness, they have a backbone or a structure on which the rest of their life is built on. I'm not saying they won't make mistakes. I'm not saying they won't veer. But this is the most critical thing we can do to any child, any children that we are influenced, that we have an influence on, or that we directly raise. There may be your children. So that's the hope, right? That we train them in righteousness, because as you well know, parenting is not easy. It's not easy, right? You always question, you always wonder, you always say, did I do this right? Did I do that right? And so when you do this, when this has an influence in their life, we can look back and say, you know what? I at least did that right. Right? There's the one thing that I did right, and it was influencing them in this type of training. So this type of instruction, or you could say training, is something that trains someone to reach full development. That's the idea behind this training. Isn't that the goal of the Christian life? God is training us to grow spiritually, to mature spiritually, so we can be better Christians. That's the idea, right? To grow to a state of a more mature Christian is one way to look at it. So we've covered quite a bit of benefits. I mean, in my mind, you know, some of these are kind of, I mean, all of them are benefit, right? Depending on how you look at them. But there is a lot of benefits that come from the scripture being from God. And now here's the next verse that gives you kind of like the payload of what's the purpose of all this. You know, why do we do this as believers? And it's all in verse 17. Because remember that so that is always indicating a purpose. So that, all of verse 16, the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's why. That's why. I kind of hinted to that earlier. But a few things about this verse you should be noticing. So that many times indicates purpose, and it does here as well. It does here as well. And that's a preposition behind that so that, but that's usually how they translate it. We just saw all these things that we are to do. We saw the benefit, and here's the purpose of that benefit. That's what it's telling us. Here's the purpose of the teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. All for the purpose of the believer. You know, it says man of God. This is man of God. This is for the believer. Someone who has become a believer in Jesus Christ. Because honestly, none of those things are advantageous to an unbeliever. The only thing that's advantageous to an unbeliever is what? The gospel message. That's it. Once they cross that point of being a believer, then this is beneficial to them. Then they can be trained in righteousness. But up to that point, they need righteousness. They need to get it, receive it at salvation. So that's why it says so that the man of God or woman, right? Man, I think y'all understand that. The NIV might even put that in there for you. It might say the man and woman. I don't know. Maybe we should look at that. But you get the idea there. So the next thing that jumps out at me about this verse is that little word may. May. You know, that's not a sure thing. That's saying maybe. That's saying that something is not a guarantee to happen. Right? We all want to be equipped. We all want to be adequate. In other words, able to do what we need to do. But that's not a guarantee. That's what this verse is saying. Because may be adequate is this word right here. It's artios is the word. And look what it means. Being well fitted for some function, complete, capable, proficient, able to meet all the demands. I want to be this. I don't know about you. This is good stuff. But it says maybe. It's not a guarantee. Why is it not a guarantee? Actually, did I give you that right word? Yeah. And I feel like I talk about this word pretty often, but here is the actual word. So all the teaching, the reproof, the training in righteousness is what actually makes us able to meet the demands of this word. In other words, you have to have verse 16 applied in your life to receive the training, to apply the word, to receive the reproof, to make the necessary corrections, all for the purpose of being equipped, of being adequate. In other words, if you miss all that, you can't be adequate. You can't be complete. You can't be able. You won't be able to meet all the demands. That's what the word means, right? Adequate is being able to meet whatever God has for you in your life, whatever it may be. whatever career, whatever function, whatever God throws at you, you can handle it. So in my mind, we want to accomplish what verse 16 has to say. We at least want to take note of that, because without that, I mean, what do we have, right? So the only question that remains is, are you willing to go the distance in this area? This is an individual question. This is for each individual person here. Are you willing to go the distance? And this is a question that you will ask yourself hopefully more times than not. Because, you know, every person is different. There's a certain distance that each person will go spiritually versus not. There's a level there, right? This person may grow some. This person may grow a lot. And that's an individual. There's no influences. There's no excuses. There's going to be influences. There's going to be things pulling your string. I don't have time for that because of this, right? We all have obligations to meet. But at the end of the day, the reality is, what decisions did we make with what we've been given? Because this time that we have here is limited. People forget that. We're just enjoying, you know, we're having fun, having a good time. But this is limited. It's so limited when you think about 100 years in comparison to eternity. I mean, think about that. What is it? It's like a drop in the bucket. I mean, it's like nothing, right? That's what the scripture describes us as, like a breath of a vapor, right? Just like it's here and then it's gone. That's what it describes this life as. So when I think about those things, I think about, what are we really living for? I'm talking about waking up. What is today for? It's not just to clock in and clock out. There's a much bigger purpose, way higher divine purpose than just clocking in and clocking out. We have to see that God is doing things in your life. He puts people in your life for a reason. There's a very specific reason that God is trying to get you to do and recognize, but we're the ones that have to make the decision to be able to move in that direction. That's all I'm saying. And if you're not willing to move, that's your choice. That's fair, right? God gives us that power to be a lukewarm Christian. Nothing wrong with that. But guess what? We got too many of those. We got way too many of those. I mean, we do, right? We got to way too many churches that are just lukewarm spiritually, and that God is waiting to use, but they're too interested in the music. They're too interested in the playground. They're too interested in the movies. I mean, those things can be good things. But the reality is, if you minimize the Word of God, those things become more important. Right? So, and you know what? Satan is loving that area. The area of entertainment in churches, he loves it. He loves it. Loves it. Because we like entertainment as people. I like entertainment. You like entertainment. And he knows, he's figured that out, right? And he maximized in that area. Again, I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with entertainment, but I want you to see that there can be. There can be, right? I mean, I love good music just as well as you do. So we have to begin to see that these things are more important than just waking up and finishing the day, going through the hours. You know, it's not really about us. Think about it like that. It's not about us. It's a much bigger picture. If we're going to glorify God, guess what you're doing it for? Not yourself, although that is a benefit. You will benefit from doing this. You're doing it because God desires, and that's what he wants you to do. That's purpose. It's not because your boss said it. It's not because whoever said it. It's because God desires you to do that. That is the most purpose you can have in this life. That is ultimate purpose right there. It's divine purpose in your life. And everybody has it. It's just a matter of recognizing it. Recognizing it. I mean, the majority of the people that you know are never going to get to this point. I mean, that's just reality. Right? The people that move and want to see what happens in this area are in the minority. You know, growing faithful believers are always in the minority. They're never going to be the majority. This is Satan's world we live in, and Satan is very good at what he does. God is in full control. We know that, right? But he has allowed Satan to roam freely and play his games that he will play. And there's a lot of Christians that are fooled, tricked, deceived into believing the lies that Satan has thrown out there as propaganda. So I don't want to be a casualty in that. And I don't want you to be a casualty in that. Because if we're going to do anything with any kind of purpose, it's not fall for the lie. Because there's a lot of lies. And most of them are tied to some financial money, right? A lot of lies in this in our day and age. So, I mean, honestly, when I look at this word and I see all this complete, proficient, capable, you know, there's many times I don't feel complete, and you probably don't either. I don't feel capable. I don't feel adequate enough to go wake up. Okay, let's do this. Bright eyed, bushy tailed. Let's do. You know, I just don't want to do it sometimes. There's a lot of times you won't want to do it, but what do? You rely on someone other than yourself to give you the motivation to go, to do, to say, to associate, to speak, to go out of your way, to take the time to do something that maybe you wouldn't normally do otherwise, to get out of your comfort zone. Most people don't want to get out of their comfort zone. I don't either. But guess what? If that's God's will for me, that's what I'm going to do. Or at least I hope I recognize that, right? That's the idea. So here we are to the what this verse is saying about it doesn't matter how we feel. It's about what God gives us through his word. And this is what really why this is showing this is because that's where we receive the capability. It's from God himself, but you can only receive that from information that you receive and you learn from his word. That's the only way we can receive that is from scripture, right? So there's that may be, and I actually put that the subjunctive mood on this word. It's not, it's on the be. May be. Makes sense. So the subjunctive are the this, you remember that it's not a surety. So that may be something that you need to work on, or it may be something that is not a real thing in your life as well. The word here for be is a state of being. To be. What are you going to be? That's what it's saying. It's a verb. In other words, it takes action on your part. It's something that you're going to go and carry out. That's the part that is uncertain. That's the part I am trying to convince you of because I'm convicted and I want you to be convicted. I don't stand up here for just to come and teach. I don't stand up here for the salary. I don't stand up here because I, you know, whatever reason. I stand up here because I want to see you do what the Word of God tells me we should do. You know, we're supposed to be doing things and this is real. It's not like we just hear things and say, okay, I heard some good news or I heard some good advice. This is words that are inspired by God. And my hope is that we take that very seriously, right? So the condition of this verse has to be met by you. It has to be met by you and me. It has to be met. I have to continue and you have to continue and we have to see the process through. It has to be met. So if we meet it, guess what? You are adequate. You are complete. You are able to meet every single demand that you find in your life. You know what? Demands are sometimes, you know, that's what causes a lot of stress in our life. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to be here at a certain time. We have to, you know, do certain things around certain people that we don't necessarily want to do. Why? Because we don't feel capable. That's why. Look what this says. Look at what it gives us. That's not our error. We don't have to worry about being capable. That has nothing to do with what God is doing, what God is giving us. Capability comes from God himself in your soul. That's the capableness. And that's just a lot of faith, trusting in what God is doing. We see it, but do you believe it? Do you believe it? It goes back to faith, doesn't it? You can see something and say, yeah, that looks good, but hey, you know what? It's all good. Is it good? It is good. But you have to apply it, believe it, and apply it. And that goes back to teaching. You got to receive it. If you don't receive it, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe God, if you don't believe his word, well, then it's kind of like a dead in the water. So the condition, I think part of the condition is that we have to better understand the importance of the doctrine that we're talking about, the doctrine of inspiration. It is from God. And that's why we have to kind of think about it differently. It's not just words written by Paul, not just words written by Peter. It's not just these things. These are things that came from God through Paul, through Peter, or any other writer of Scripture, through James, through Timothy, right? But it's a lot bigger than just the human. It's a lot bigger than me. It's a lot bigger than you. It's because it's divinely inspired, and that's how God works. He works through people. He works through people, and he does great things through people. His plan moves forward through people. So we have to better understand that and to think and know that we have God's words in written form, and we should take that seriously in my mind. So I think when we do take that seriously, you know, when we realize what we have, how long we have it, how long we're here, you know what that does for you? It gives you motivation to move. It gives you motivation to get out of your seats. It gives you motivation to do something and to be open in the will and the plan of God for your life, for your life, not your neighbor, not, you know, this person or that person, for you as an individual. You know, I think that's really a lot of the thing about the Christian way of life is part of growing means being willing, being willing. Are we willing to go where God wants us to go? I mean, you could say yes, but what's happening in your life? What is going on in your life? Are you willing to just walk off the plank? Because that's what we have to be willing to do. Are you willing to open that door of darkness and just walk through it? Say, God, you got this. Wherever you want to take me, I'm down to go. I mean, that's where we have to be in our faith. Because if we're not, we're not going to be adequate. We're not going to be equipped, and we're not going to be what the verse tells us, able to meet all the demands. I mean, think about this, how important this doctrine is in the time in which we live. We live in a time of relativity. There is no absolute standards anymore. This is a time where whatever you think is right, whatever they think is right, whatever he thinks is right, whatever, yeah, it's all free for all right now. So, because there's no longer what? No longer an absolute standard. The word of God has been pushed to the side. The one standard, the absolute standard, and what's replaced with it? Man's standard, my standard, what I see is right. If I think a man and a man should get married, well, then that's what's right. Or a woman and a woman, or whatever the case may be. Well, guess what? That's not what God's standard says. So it doesn't really matter how I feel personally. It doesn't matter, right? That how I feel is not the issue. I have to adjust the way I feel and the way I think based on what God thinks. That's the rule. That's the way of life, right? Because if you don't adjust to this, what do you have? Nothing. I mean, you don't have any rules that you know are set and right. Otherwise, it's based on a personal something, personal desire. Maybe a decision, a person influence, maybe some, we have something going on. You're influenced by other. See, there's always something else behind that motivation. When we're motivated to do something, it's always because of something else. The only way it's going to be right is when we're motivated from the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. So, and you know, that's a major problem when we're talking about, you know, different ways of thinking. Isn't that what religion is all about? I mean, if I go to 10 different churches, I'm going to hear 10 different ways on how to get to heaven. I'm serious. You go to my little bitty town, Dayton, Texas, you got about 50 churches over there. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of churches. Did we used to have that many churches? I don't think so. But that's a lot of churches. And they all believe something different. Every single one of them. See what I mean by relativity? Whatever he thinks is right. Whatever he thinks is right. Who's the authority? Well, in those cases, it must be man, right? Religion, if they all believe something different, is man the authority? But it should be God, right? Because if God's not the authority, then man becomes the authority over the Word of God. And that's a dangerous place to be. So I think nowadays what a church is for most people is it's just an identification. It's just a checkbox. Let me show up and let me check that box. Oh, yeah, I go to this church, right? I go to this church. And, I mean, Satan has of course, contributed to the tearing down of the importance of God's Word. But, anyways, I get off on a tangent sometimes. But, you know, we do have a problem in that area. So, and you see the problem. I hope you're seeing the problem. We are dealing with a living God. What has religion done is it's pulled the personal relationship out of God, and you're left with what? You're left with just going through the motions of doing something with no personal relationship, no love for God. All that is going to the side. Now you just have certain boxes that you need to show up and check off. Do you see what I mean? And people aren't realizing this. They think God is a genie. If I do this thing, he will do this thing. If I do this, he will. That's not how God works. He is a living God. Satan's good. I mean, Satan's good, right? He's elevated religion over the Word of God is what he's done. Now the idol is religion. It's not, right? It's not what it should be. So, I mean, a lot of people stagnant in their spiritual life because of that. And they're blinded to it. And the reality is that there's no reverence for God, which also means what? No reverence for his word. That's what we've been talking about. So, and you'll see different views on this doctrine, right? There's a lot of different views. You'll see a lot of different views. You'll see some, well, you know, we believe that the word is from God. And you'll see so many different variances to that. There's a lot. Part of it is from God. Some people put more emphasis on the human writer than on the divine author. They say, well, Paul, they put more emphasis on that. See, there's a lot of things you have to... Satan loves to mess things up. He loves it. And if he can get you to believe something that takes away from God in some way, he will do it. He will do it. And believe me, it's very believing. It's something that it's very, you know, you could believe this. So, and here's just the... I want to show you the other scripture that we have. On after 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 in the doctrinal statement, here's 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. I just want to read you the context so you have an idea. Same type of idea, though. It says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this First of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Same idea right there. That's what we're talking about. This is referring to prophecy, but it's no difference from the verse we just looked at in Timothy. It's originating from God, right? What's funny is we got a lot of prophets today. Got a lot of false prophets today that are speaking things that are not originating from God, but originating from themselves. And, you know, we hear a lot of these things that, you know, now it's more subtle. It's to say, I think this is going to happen. I think that's going to happen. But really what they're doing is they think they're prophets and they're telling you what they are prophesying about what's going to happen in the future. They have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. You know, there is a validation for a prophet in the Scripture. Do you know that? There's a validation. Well, here's one of those. It says no prophecy is a matter of one's own interpretation. In other words, it's not how I feel. It's not what I see or interpret. It's not any of those things. It's what God says. It has to be in line with the Word of God. That's one of the validations. Deuteronomy 18:20 actually tells us another test for a prophet. One of those is, of course, the prophecy must be in accord with God's word. And the other one is the prophecy must come true. That's the other validation. A lot of these people you hear today, none of them come true. Well, they keep prophesying, it's here. Wait, let's push it up a little bit, right? It's like the rapture. Remember, there was people prophesying the rapture was going to be back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. And then that moved to the 70s and 80s. And now it's moved. I don't know where it is now, but you get the idea. That is a false prophet. So no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. Anyways, so I think that's a good place to stop. And I think we'll pick back up on Wednesday. And I think we're through actually inspiration. So we're going to move, I think, to the Trinity next, because that's one of our core beliefs. We believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we'll take a look at that, because that's kind of confusing when you think about it, right? A lot of people see the Christianity as, oh, they believe in three gods. I don't know about that. No, we believe in one God. So let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll enjoy the rest of the day. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the graciousness that you have given us to show us there are certain things in our own personal lives that we need to work on, and also the importance of your word, the importance of the things that you tell us are not just on these pages or just in a book. They are directly from you. And I'm so grateful that we're able to see that and understand it. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to die for the sins of humanity. And that is our salvation. And we put trust and faith in that, because that's what your scripture says is a requirement to receive it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We're grateful and we're thankful for that ability. And we just ask that you can continue to guide us and lead us in this world. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.